Like we're pretty shy here this morning. Does anybody, as Josh said last week, know what the lesson was about? Know what this lesson, he said last week, he asked what just was the lesson of what was it about? I'm doing the same this week. I'm saying, did anybody get an opportunity to read it? Know what it's, I know Vera probably knows what it's about. You like this lesson? Yes, it's about obedience. Oh, she doesn't have questions. We said Vera will have one, but anyway, that's okay. Well, before we get started, there are two special people in our Sunday school this morning that I want to wish a happy birthday to, Alan and Cheryl. So we're thankful for both of them very much. We just want to wish them a happy birthday. And also, last time I was up here, I had the opportunity. It was Mother's Day's weekend, so I guess Josh thought I needed to have Father's Day weekend also. So I want to wish all you fathers a happy Father's Day also. Okay, if there's not any questions, then we'll have prayer and we'll get started. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to open up your word and to see what you have to say to us, that we might learn about your obedience, that we might realize the importance of it, and to realize that is a commandment from you. So again, as we dive into your word this morning, just open our eyes and our hearts that we might see what you have to show with us through the words this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, since nobody has any questions, I'll lay that to a side. I'm going to start out with a story this morning that kind of tells about myself a little bit. Back in the early 80s, I used to drive back and forth to Wichita because I worked for my father, which owned a plumbing company in Wichita. And that's where Brent and I both grew up, was in Wichita. And we liked McPherson so well, we really didn't want to move back to Wichita. But I think my father thought that by me working for him again, that maybe my older brother and I would take over the business. But I don't know if any of you have ever been in Wichita, but Brent and I was glad to be out of that part of this great state. And we enjoyed McPherson so well that we stayed here. So Dad provided me a work van to drive back and forth with. And back then was in the early 80s was the big energy crunch, if some of you remember that. And the speed limit went from 75 down to 55. And I was making pretty good time going back and forth when it was at 75. But when it went to 55, it seemed like it took me forever to get to Wichita and back. And I'd have to be there like 7:30 in the morning, and then I wouldn't get home sometimes at 7 at night because I would open the shop and close it. So anyway, I came up with this great idea thinking that my time was very valuable, so I went and purchased me a Fuzzbuster. And so now I could not only get down there back and forth, sometimes it was 30 minutes. I could really fly. I got to the place where I would not only drive 75, but I was going way over that because I had no fear because I had this Fuzzbuster. And what it would do is if the highway patrolman's coming along, beep, 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 I could slow it down and keep from getting a ticket. So, you know, God works in mysterious ways. One time I'm here in town, and I had a friend, and I think I was doing some plumbing at his house or something like that, so he jumped in my van and we was going across town. He says, "Paul, what's that black box on your dashboard?" So I told him, I said, "Well, it's my Fuzzbuster." And he says, "Your Fuzzbuster?" I said, "Yeah." So he says, "Well, what's it for?" I said, "Well, it's just going to keep me from getting a ticket when I drive back and forth from Wichita, and I can get there and back faster, spend more time with my family." He said, "Well, isn't that sin?" I said, "Yeah, I just justified a little bit." I said, "It's just a small one. It's no big deal." And so he says, "You know, Paul, it doesn't matter if it's a big sin or if it's a little sin. Sin is sin." And I thought, God, pick it, you know. So then I had a choice to make. I realized that the Holy Spirit had used him to convict me to do the right thing. So I had three choices. I could either change and repent, or I could ignore it and just justify it, or I could claim I had ignorance. Well, I didn't have ignorance in this situation because I knew what I was doing. But what I did is I thought about the more what he said, and I got convicted, and I did got rid of it and changed because the Holy Spirit, I was able to repent of what I knew I was doing wasn't right. But the thing that I realized when I was thinking about that, that how many times I had gone back and forth to Wichita in those couple year period and never had an accident. There were many times I was sleepy, but how the Lord had protected me, and I was just taking that for granted. And I realized that that was something that I need to be more obedient to what the Word of God tells me to do. So we have the Word of God, the Bible, right here. And it's the instructions that He's given us, how we should live our lives. And He wants us to be obedient to what His Word says. And in order to do that, that is what's going to please Him. So this morning, I want to show you in the Scripture why it's so important to be obedient to the Word of God. You know, in order to do that, we're going to have humble hearts and a desire to truly serve Him and to do what is pleasing to Him. The women's club that have the book club, this is going to be the new book that they're going to be reading next. And I want to put a little plug in for you for it. It says, Who Am I? And it talks about who am I as a Christian. And I haven't read, I picked it up, Brenda had it there, and I picked it up and started reading a little bit of it. And I like what he said in the end of the first part of the chapter. Jerry Bridges puts a quote in here that I think really applies to what our lesson is this morning. His quote is that we as Christians have the ability to know right from wrong, the ability to obey or disobey. He says that we are moral creatures and we are accountable to God. Now, all of us are accountable to God, every one of us. But he said only those who are in Christ have the moral ability to be accountable to God. So think back to Adam, the first man. And what did God tell him to do? He says, if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will what? You will surely die. What God did at that point when he gave Adam the commandment to not do this, Adam became accountable to God because now he could either be obedient or disobedient. We have these same opportunity as believers. You also are accountable to what the Word of God says. You know, this theme of accountability is seen throughout the whole entire Bible. You know, Cain was accountable for when he murdered Abel. Also, the Israelites, when God gave them the Ten Commandments, you know, they were accountable to be obedient to the Ten Commandments that God gave them. So we see that theme throughout the whole Bible. But most importantly is Jesus says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments in John 14:15. This morning, I want you to think about this question. Is there any area in your life which you are struggling to be obedient? An area that is preventing you from submitting your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You know, the problem with the average Christian is that we really want to be obedient. But it's because of the struggles that we have with obedience that causes us to be disobedient. That is what's wrong with the average church. You know, it is filled with believers like you and I, and we don't take obedience seriously. That's why some of us are not happy in our faith. We're saved, but we just endure instead of enjoying it. It simply is not because we're obedient, simply that we just choose to be disobedient. So what does biblical disobedience look like? Here's the definition. Obedience is defined as submissive compliance to the commands of one in authority. It's because of our faith and our love for the Lord that we do the right thing for the right reason. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John 5:3. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His commandments is light. The child of God obeys willingly because we trust in the Lord. We know that we are commanded as believers to obey what the Scripture says. So as a child of God, you must be willing to submit and trust what God tells you to do in his word. Let me show you why. If you are being obedient, or if you even are being a true believer or not. Turn in your Bibles also to 1 John. Stay right there. We're going to camp there for a while. In 1 John 2:3-4. Now this is the verse that we were asked to memorize for this lesson of this week. 1 John 2, starting with verse 3 to 4. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he says, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But in verse 5, I like what he says there. He says, but whosoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him, ought him also to walk in the same manner as he did. So right here he gives us a key reason why we need to ask ourselves this question. What struggles of obedience is there in your life that is preventing you from submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And the reason I ask you that question is, what does it mean by the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Because in Luke 6:46 he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say? So you see, you might fool yourselves at times, whether you're a true believer or not, but you're not going to fool our Savior. Because he knows in your heart if you truly are being obedient to him and wanting to follow his commands. You know, whatever you submit to, you become a slave to it. Paul says in Romans 6:16, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are a slave to the one whom you obey, either in sin, which results in death, or either in righteousness, either in obedience, which results in righteousness. So who are you a slave to? If you're an obedient child, then you are a slave to Jesus Christ. Not a slave to this world anymore. Because in Colossians 1:13 says, he rescued you out of the dominion of darkness and put you in the light of his beloved Son. Because we were rescued from dominion of darkness, you now live in his kingdom. And we live under his commands. Putting it simple, we are a slave to Jesus Christ. Look back up there in 1 John 2:3. He says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. That word if is very critical. Let me tell you why. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will devote to one and despise the other. So you see, you cannot serve God if you are trying to serve man and please him. When we were rescued by Jesus Christ out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we are now in his kingdom. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In his kingdom, we have a different set of rules than what the world has. The world could care less what you did, but God does. He wants you to obey his commandments. So remember when I said in Romans 6:16, it says, when you obey someone, you are submitting to their authority. When you submit to someone, you are saying you trust them. When you don't submit to someone, you are saying you do not trust them. Now, are we not children of God? God commanded us to trust God in everything, not just some things, but everything. So when you trust in God, you are saying that you truly believe in him. Let me show you what Paul says in Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. Paul tells us, he also tells that we were formerly in darkness, but now that we are the light of the Lord, he commands us to walk as children as light. But he says in verse 9, he says, also the fruit of the light is consisted of three things, goodness, righteousness, and truth. But in verse 10, he tells us the reason why we're to do this. He says, we are learning what is pleasing to the Lord. So God calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light. He has regenerated our hearts, that we have the faith to believe in him. So our responsibility as believers is to submit to his authority and his word, and we're to live out our sanctified lives in a way, in a manner that is pleasing to him. So this morning I have three things that I want you to consider. What is the relationship between obedience and our faith? What is the relationship between obedience and happiness? And what is the relationship between obedience and the scriptures? First point, what is the relationship between obedience and faith? We know that there are those so-called Christians out there that say they are believers, But they have a pattern of continued disobedience to the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to James 2:26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Now think about it. I know some of us have probably seen dead bodies. Might be some of our loved ones or something like that. But when that body is laying there, when that spirit is gone, that body's not going to get up and hug you anymore. That body's not going to sit up and communicate with you. That body is just dead flesh laying there. And so if our faith is without works, that's what kind of faith you have, is a dead faith. That's a very dangerous faith to have. The reason why is because it lacks the works that is revealed in a changed life. In other words, that life has a spiritually dead heart. We know this is true because the Bible, there are many verses that says true saving faith will result in a transformed life. Our sacrificed lives are still in progress, but they are still the same. They are changed, a changed life. The true faith is demonstrated by the works we do. How we live reveals what we believe and whether the faith that we profess is a living faith or a dead faith. You know, many of us know those who profess to be Christians, but their lives and their priorities indicate otherwise. Jesus said in Matthew 7:18, by the fruit you will know those who believe. He also says every good tree will produce good fruit. And he also says every bad tree will produce bad fruit. And he says no good tree can produce bad fruit, nor can any bad tree produce any good fruit. But what he tells us he's going to do with the bad trees, he's going to cut them down and throw them in the fire. And so you must evaluate, what kind of tree are you? That ties into, are you obedient servant of him or not? So the question we want to think about is, so why is it so important to take obedience serious and to have a faith that is not dead, but a faith that is producing good works? Let me show you why, turning to your Bibles to Matthew 7:21-23, and listen to what Jesus says about the disobedient servant. Matthew 7:21-23, beginning with verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But here's who will. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Go back to that first word in verse 22. He said, there will be many that will do that. He didn't say few. Our churches are full of people today that believe that they are Christians, but they're really false believers, because they're not doing what? They're not doing the will of the Father. They're doing their own wills. They're doing what they want to do. They shrug their shoulders at obedience, like I did with the Fuzzbuster. You know, until God confronted me about it. I thought it was no big deal. But every little thing of disobedience is a huge deal to our Father. And there's a big difference. But Jesus says there in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers, you who practice lawlessness. So you can see the importance of a living faith, of good works. It shows that we are wanting to do what pleases God. There's a big difference between the obedient servant and the disobedient servant here in this verse. So my hope is that you see the importance of the faith at work, that you truly strive with all your heart to be obedient to your calling. 2 Peter 1:10 tells us this. He said, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing of you. He said, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. So I know I've been talking about the obedient servant. Now what about the disobedient believer? We all know that we have children that are disobedient at times. So also God has children that are disobedient at times. So I'm not saying that we just ignore them and say that they're not a believer. I don't want you to get that at all. Because I was one of those disobedient children when I was using that fuzzbuster. But yet, it's the attitude that you take from that point on, that when you're convicted of something and God's brought it to your attention, just like when Nathaniel went to talk to David, he had a choice to make, you know. He said, you're the man. So we need to look at ourselves and see, again, are we being submissive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Or are we just shrugging our shoulders and thinking it's no big deal? You know, the reason that God disciplines us as his children is because we do the same for our children. You know, God says in Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. He also says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with us as sons, for what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? You know, the writer in Hebrews also tells us that discipline and training can be hard, but the result of our obedient life is pleasing to God. God said, I would rather have obedience than sacrifice. But he says in verse 5, my sons, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. He's not promising you it's going to be a rose garden, but it's going to happen to each one of us, because he says this. So that's why it's not easy, it's hard, but it's a good thing for God to discipline us. Because listen to what he says in 12:8, and this is what you do not want to be. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are an illegitimate child and not a son. You know, I work for the school district, and I see many kids come from different walks of life and different families. And I can, without a shadow of a doubt, tell you those kids that have a home that gives discipline in them and those that don't. And so when God disciplines us, he says, don't faint on him, you know. Endure it, because it's coming to us because we deserve it and we need it for our own good. You know, if we look at those who sit in the churches today who claim to be Christians, and many of them in Matthew 7:21 thought they were believers, but they were doing it under their own will. They weren't being obedient to what the Word of God was telling them to do. So what I want to encourage you to do is don't be as those so-called 7:21 false believers. You know, on this side of the grave, we have the opportunity to make sure that we're not a 7:21 false believer. And I know that was probably sounds pretty negative, but it's a very serious and important thing that we need to consider. So now to a more positive point, what is the relationship between the obedience of happiness? You know, I mentioned earlier that there are so many Christians that are not happy in their faith. But I think the problem is that they misunderstand what true happiness really is. Now think back when you were first converted. You were probably the happiest in your life at that moment. And it's because you realized what Jesus Christ had did for you. He endured the wrath of God on your behalf for all your sins. When we stop believing what the lies that the world told us, that what would make us happy, instead we believed in God and we trusted in him, knowing that we could overcome the temptations of the world. I look back over my life and I realized there are different stages in my life that I did different things to try to obtain what I thought would make me happy. And I know each one of us has our stories that we could share about that same situation. But I was taught by my parents to do the very best, you know, which is a good thing, but my motives through high school, through junior high and high school, was not about the Lord, it was all about Paul. What could I do to make me be happy? And so I thought by, you know, Brent and I was raised in a very large high school of about 2,000 out in Wichita. And if you want to be recognized, you had to be good at something. And so, you know, if you thought you wanted to be one of the popular ones, or if you wanted to be a good athlete, you would be recognized. So I worked really hard at that to be the best athlete I could be. And I got some recognition for what I did, but it was fleeting. It didn't bring me to happiness. And I didn't realize that until years later. But then, after high school, there was college, and then there was marriage. And God blessed Brent and I with two wonderful daughters. But during this time, I continued to strive to give my children the things that I did not have. When you're raised one of 13, things didn't go around very far. And so I wanted my children to have more, or at least, you know, a lot of us think about we want to at least give them what we had. We don't want to go backwards. But so I would work really hard at things, to give them things that I did not have. But I can remember that the first time Brent and I went back to our first reunion in high school, our 10 year. And it was good to see our old friends that we had in high school. But at the same time, I noticed how everybody was trying to impress everybody. You know, it was all about what a great career they had. It was all about what a great salaries they had, what pictures of their nice home and their families, everything that we thought the world would tell us would make us successful and be happy. But what they didn't realize is that all that, the problem is with that, that you continue to want more and more and you never were content. You know, the word is clear that Jesus is the only way to be truly happy. It wasn't until my heart was changed that I realized that everything I had was because of what God had given me. My wife, my family, my job. It was then I realized what true happiness was all about. It was a love for Christ and his church is where true happiness was found. Let me show you what he says in Matthew 6:25. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew 6:25. Before I read that verse, I want to share with you another thing. A little over a couple weeks ago, some of you know, my mother passed away and went to be with the Lord. And I realized while Brent and I were standing there watching her take her last breath that, you know, she had a hard life. She had a life that there wasn't a lot of material things in her life because of the large family that we had. And I also realized that she was the richest woman, because she gave us a testimony of what the Lord did for her life. And I'm so thankful that God put me in that family that I could realize the mother that he gave me. Because see, now I can take on what she taught me through the Holy Spirit and through the Lord. I saw the evidence of her life being lived out. And I think we look at life and we think that what's going to make us happy, what this world offers, doesn't compare close to what the Lord would give you. So listen to what he says in Matthew 6:25. For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink or what your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So you see, God has promised, don't worry about your life, he says. He promises he will provide for us, instead of us continuing to strive and to labor after material things of this world, areas that we think will bring us happiness. We need to focus on being obedient and pursue after holiness. If you would, turn to your Bibles in another place in 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. And Peter puts it pretty plain to us. In 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, beginning with verse 13. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in the spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he says in 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the lust which was yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behaviors. Think about that. We take that lightly at times, how we behave towards one another, or what kind of testimony we have. And then he says, because it is written, and that's the same thing as saying it is commanded, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter is telling us to focus on the grace that was brought to us by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, to be happy, you must be an obedient child and not fall back into the former lust of this world. But he says, for us to be holy like the one who called us is holy in all of our behavior. That is what will make you happy when you pursue after holiness. Let's look in the Bible where Jesus says what true happiness is. You don't need to turn there, but I'm just going to read to you what the Beatitudes are. But in the Bible where it says blessed, that means the same thing as being happy. So just listen to what Jesus says happiness is. And I know you're going to ask yourself, when you hear these things, you're going to say, according to the world standards, that doesn't seem like a very happy person to me. But here's what our Lord and Savior says. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Happy are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Happy are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then this, listen to this one. He says, happy are you who people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then in verse 12, he says, rejoice and be glad. In other words, be happy, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So he's telling us in verse 11, he says, we will be persecuted for him. That could be a coworker. That could be a family member. That could be anyone Satan uses to help make you feel not loved by our Lord and Savior. But in verse 12, he gives us encouragement. Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. Now again, the Beatitudes are a sharp contrast between what the world says brings happiness versus what the Scriptures reflect to be true. I truly believe the person that learns to be content in all circumstances of life, whether it be your talent, your wealth, or your poverty, you will be happy in the Lord when you come to that point in your life. Knowing that He is the giver of life and every breath that we have, and it's for one reason, that we might glorify Him. When we focus not on ourselves, but we focus on being obedient and pursuing after holiness, then we will have joy and true happiness. Now the third point is, what is the relationship between obedience and the Scriptures? I believe our love for God is reflected the most in our obedience to His Word. We are to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. So how can we do that if we don't even know Him or we don't even know what He says? You see, the root problem is if we don't study the Word, you're saying that you do not fear God. In Proverbs 1:29, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I believe the reason we're disobedient sometimes is because we lack the knowledge about God's Word. How can we obey something we don't even know or we don't even understand about? And I know this is a familiar verse I'm going to have you turn to, but it really speaks a lot about what the Scriptures is for us. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy 3:16. Beginning with verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, he says, is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. If we really believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, then you understand that it is profitable for your teaching. As I mentioned earlier, it is good to be disciplined, and it helps us to understand that we need to be corrected. It teaches us the training we need to pursue holiness. You know, it was a couple years ago in our home, we had a small group, and we did a study on the spiritual disciplines for Christians, for the Christian life, by Don Whitney. And I like what he said when we started out that small group study. He said, in this book, he begins to encourage the Christians on the importance of God's word. He said, you must be a hearer of God's word, you must be a reader of God's word, and you must be a studier of God's word. You know, these are three primary ways of discipline, is to know how the word of God is. He calls it Bible intake. And he goes on to encourage Christians that not only to read, to listen, to read, to study, but to memorize and to meditate on God's word. So we don't have any excuse about listening to God's word. You know, the technology we have today makes it really easy. And every Sunday you come to church, you sit and listen under what God's teaching is. I know going across town, at times driving my truck, I'll turn the radio on and I might hear, it might just be a small part of a sermon or something. But it's like the Holy Spirit uses that for me to hear that part of it. And God's timing is perfect. So you could obtain a lot of knowledge by just listening and hearing what the Word of God wants you to know. You know, growing up, I probably wasn't a person that enjoyed reading a lot. But I realized how much I missed out on by not being that type of individual. But, you know, I am so thankful for John and Josh and how they encourage us to read good books and to spend time studying and learning more about our Lord and Savior. It's kind of like, reminds me of a toddler, you know, when they first learn to walk, they put one step in front of the other, which is the same way that we need to do when we start getting into the Word of God. Take one verse at a time, one chapter at a time, but just do it. Don't put it off, because I know we have the time to do those things. You know, like I said, if you're not a reader, you can at least be a listener. But find a way that you can study God's word so you can know what he wants us to do and how to live our lives. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's easy. You know, I realize that there are some that can make it look easier than others. But think about this, they still have to put in the time. They too have to read the books that they encourage us to read. You know, I know John and Josh spend many hours of study. You know, they work hard. And not that just because it's their job, but that's what each one of us needs to do. Anything that's worthwhile is worth putting effort in, is working hard. I can testify that, you know, it's hard sometimes to take the time to do it when there's other things that is pulling you away that want you to, you want to do other things. But what's important in your life is what you will do. If you realize the benefit that you will receive is above and beyond anything that you could ever imagine. In Psalm 119:11 says this. He says that, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee, the word of God. Psalm 119:05 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Proverbs 3:1 says, my sons, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, this is the reason why. Timothy tells us that we need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, and the one who will rightly divide the word of truth. About 6 years ago, when we first started Cornerstone Church, on Wednesday nights we would have a Bible study. And John gave us a verse that he said every one of us should memorize. And I like this verse, what he says in 1 Peter 3:15, and some of you memorized it as well. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That goes along with what Josh said last week about evangelizing. If you don't have that hidden, the word hidden in your heart, if you haven't prepared yourself to be ready for those times, how are you going to be able to do that? Are you going to be found short? I've been there before at times where I say, I know that verse is somewhere. But by studying the word more diligently and making it a priority, the Holy Spirit will use that to bring to your mind at the time that it's needed. So remember, obedience is not an option. Obedience brings blessings from God, Obedience takes discipline, but it is not burdensome. You know, my hope this morning is that I showed you why obedience is important to God. In your quiet time this week, there's three things that I would like for you to think about. Obedience demonstrates our faithfulness to Him in 1 John 2. Obedience to God proves our love for Him in 1 John 5. Obedience glorifies Him in the world, 1 Peter 2:12. There's one more thing that I want you to understand, is that faith and your obedience is necessary to please God. You can't do it without either one of those. Without faith, we are just like the Pharisees. In Hebrews 11, he says, if our faith is genuine and true, we will live a lifestyle characterized by righteousness, modeling the example set by Jesus Christ. We obey His commands not because they are burdensome, but because we want to be obedient because we love Him. When you obey the Lord, you can live a life with joy, without shame, rooted deeply in the Lord and confident in our eternal hope. Our obedience is actually the part of our assurance that we truly know God. Just as we want our children to please us and to be obedient, God also wants His children to please Him and be obedient to what He commands. He is glorified when we do that. Jesus told us the plan is that others will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Of course, performing those good deeds requires obedience to the one who has called us to do the good deeds. The believer's testimony of holiness is a strong witness that God is at work in their lives. You know, remember, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience. You know, God is our ultimate judge. God has given us our instructions in His Word that they are not given lightly, because someday you will be called before His throne and He will ask you the question, did you obey My Word? You know, growing up in the church as a young boy, I remember this song that I always enjoyed singing. And I think this hymn says it all. He says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know how sweet it will be someday when we as obedient children will hear God say, enter in thy good and faithful servant, because we did His will, not our own will. We were willing to submit ourselves to His authority, to His word, and to be obedient to even the very smallest things. It's going to take that kind of commitment of each one of us if we want to be the few that will enter in, not the many that will not. And I know we have many friends, family members that profess to be Christians. But you can tell by their lifestyle. You can tell if they're obedient or disobedient. I'm not saying they're a believer or not. I'm just saying that if you have the opportunity to share with them, if you see something in their lives that they don't realize that they're doing wrong out of their ignorance, or even maybe they do realize it, don't be afraid to share with them. If you love them, you'll share with them what God's Word says. But how can you do that if you don't know it? So that's why it's so important for us to be obedient, to study His Word, so that we can fulfill what His Word tells us to do. Any questions? I know I threw a lot at you there, but I don't want us to take obedience lightly, because it's so easy to do. What was that, Vera? What section are you in? And what was your question? What consequences do we have? I can't hear you with this noise. I'm not understanding your question. The consequence of disobedience, what is it? Well, I think it depends on whether or not they're a true believer or not. I mean, if they're not a true believer, we know what's going to happen. Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I did not know you. But if they are a believer, he is going to scourge those, the sons who he loves. I mean, he will discipline you. So it could be severe. I mean, you know, it says if you take communion the wrong way, you could be sick and die. I mean, there's things in the scriptures that tells us that, you know, God will not be mocked. If he tells us to do something and he will punish us, it's up to our Lord and Savior how he punishes us. But, you know, the thing that we need to realize if we're a true believer is to be thankful that he's disciplined us, because if he's disciplined us, we're his son. If he's not, that's not good. I don't know if that answers your question, but, you know, I just think it depends. Are you a child of God or not? And God will reveal that in your heart if you are or not. You will be convicted if you're doing wrong. He will not allow you just to continue to be disobedient. Well, the sad thing is there's so many people that think they are believers. That's worse, because they're deceived. They've just not only deceived themselves, but they give the church a bad name. Because people, you know, they're a poor witness, and people see their actions and say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be any part of it. But that's another whole subject in itself. But yeah, because if you're called by God, you're his child, and you're not going to, it's just like your own children. When they were disobedient to you, you made sure, you cared for them enough that you made sure they learned to do the right thing. My dad used to say, this is going to hurt me more than it is you. And I used to think, there's no way. I'm getting a SWAT. Not you. But anyway, when you get older, you understand those things. Huh? You understand that it's a lie. Right. The fester. Exactly. Right. Well, exactly. Look what David did with Bathsheba. Oh, yeah. He just kept trying to cover it up, cover it up, cover it up. It got to the point where I thought he got away with it. And we're the same. We ignore things when the Spirit tells us things. But God's not going to let you get away with it if you're his true child. He will come after you. And praise God that he will do that. Well, if there aren't any questions, let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I know this morning we spoke of obedience, but my heart would be, Lord, that each one of us would truly look at that in a way and take the seriousness of obedience and to realize that you have called us to glorify you, and that we will submit to your authority, because you are our Lord and Savior, because you alone deserve, because you are our creator and you are our sustainer of all things. So I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have to open your word and to encourage one another, that we too need to be obedient and help those that aren't. Father, help us to never be sitting in these pews and be a Matthew 7:21 false believer. Help us to open our eyes and to let us see that if we are being disobedient in any way in our lives, shapes or form, that we would diligently work hard to rectify it, Father, with you, that the Holy Spirit would come in and acknowledge what we need to do to change so that we can be pleasing to you and we can be a good servant. Again, Father, I thank you for this morning. I pray you be with the remainder of this service and just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.